Latin American Journal of Trade Policy 12, 2022, ISSN 0799668, Universidad de Chile. To Globalization, Factor Fiction? André C. Jordan, professor at the Department of Economics, University of Pretoria, South Africa. Email, andre.jordan@up.ac.za. Received, December 06th, 2021. Modificatons, November 23rd, 2021. Modifications, March 15th, 2022. Accepted, April 18th, 2022. Abstract. Globalization conveys widely accepted idea that we are living in a borderless world. According to author view, no notice is taken of distance or national policy anymore, dictated by global markets. However, the concept of globalization is starting to appear in literature with evidence of a growing awareness. It seems that there is a transition from globalization and trade integration to economic nationalism or to globalization. Recent data suggests that level of globalization is increased globally. This phenomenon may cause vulnerable countries to reassess their position in the global trade environment as conventional trade agreements and partners may be jeopardized. The COVID-19 pandemic has spilled over to the global economy, triggering a massive decline in economic activity, mainly because of government-mandated lockdowns and general mobility restrictions. This has also had a dramatic effect on the functioning of global value chains, increasing the visible threat of globalization. Recent trends associated with the move towards globalization among G20 countries and concomitant risks are also explored. Keywords: globalization, deglobalization, economic nationalism, G20 countries, COVID-19, global value chains. Introduction. The decline in world trade as in said a last quarter of 2008 remains one of the most puzzling economic phenomena of the last decade and has shaken the trust in globalization worldwide, Tuca, 2013. According to Prelipsian and Bukitar, 2019, one of the most significant events in the early 21st century is the transition from globalization and trade integration to economic nationalism. This contributed to the current umbrella concept of globalization appearing increasingly in the literature which also forms the focus of this paper. According to Martin, 2018, deglobalization means diminishing integration or a disintegration of the world economy. The world appears to be wavering between two alternatives, namely deglobalization or economic nationalism, or a transition to a very new kind of globalization. According to Postelniku, Dinu and Abija, 2015, deglobalization would mean to condemn economic underdevelopment, backwardness and eventually to a dropout from the map of civilization. It would mean the annihilation of synergistic effects created by globalization through investments and trade, which form the essential of economic progress and development. Even director of the International Monetary Fund at the time, Christine Lagarde, warned that governments against protectionism in all its forms, stating that it will affect all global players, in that it will prevent it from enhancing productivity and spreading new technologies, Prelipsian and Bukitar, 2019. From here, it can be stated that globalization or alternatively, an improved level of economic nationalism, is the essential of this paper. Albertoni and Wise, 2020, indicate that nationalism is a slippery issue and therefore needs some clarification. For the purpose of this paper, It is important to make a distinction between political and economic nationalism. Economic nationalism, so sometimes called economic patriotism or economic populism, favors government's intervention with the left at the economy should serve nationalist economy goals. Gladding, 2018. Tabal, 2019. Mentions the rise in obsessive nationalist economic policies across the globe and states that during a crisis, some countries will pursue their narrow self-interests by themselves, often at the expense of the world at large. She emphasized that countries will fail to engage with an intervention of a global slowdown and thighs I strengthened by the quantifiable rise in economic nationalism. Prike, 2020, states that economic nationalism includes practice to create, bolster and protect national economies, while still supporting true liberalization with governments enforcing the rules. Some heads of states like Jair Bolsonaro in Brazil, or former heads of state like Donald Trump in the United States of America, even after U.S., convey populist nationalism, pushing agendas of protectionism, isolationism, xenophobia, etc., which may be classified as examples of political nationalism, Albertonian Wise, 2020. However, the focus of this paper is on economic nationalism rather than political nationalism. Globalization conveys the widely accepted idea that we are living in a borderless world. No notice I take an off distance or national policy anymore, and national governments must accommodate what global markets dictate, this 1998. And the political map. The boundaries between countries may be very clear, but on the economic map, that shows the flows of financial and industrial activity, such boundaries have largely disappeared. Economies are no longer immune to external influences and cannot be insulated from global effects. Nevertheless, to define globalization is not a simple matter. According to the New Oxford Dictionary, 1998, a global village is where the world is considered as a single community linked by telecommunications, p. 780. In general terms, globalization means different things to different people, depending on each other's perspective. According to Hoffman and Kumar, 2013, the four cornerstones of globalization included transport, telecommunications, trade liberalization and international standardization. She imparts a notion of economic, political and social change that occurs when all participants in a system have access to a common pool of resources. The common resource pool includes markets for capital, science, technology, goods and services, as well as cultural goods. Globalization means different things to different people, depending on each other's perspective. According to Hoffman and Kumar, 2013, the four cornerstones of globalization included transport, telecommunications, trade liberalization and international standardization. Thus are factors have consistent limitations to be and sell merchandise globally. International standards fostered global competition, while true liberalization allowed efficiency in the international allocation of resources. Telecommunication, together with cheaper transport, are important factors in simplifying the allocation of information and goods. Linked to these factors is the fact that globalization describes a trend in international trade where the focus is more than just trade in final goods and services, but also progressively more in components and services that are used worldwide. Globalization refers to increase in integration of economies around the world and according to the International Monetary Fund, IMF, it is a historical process, A result of human innovation and technological progress, TUCA, 2013. In contrast, feed globalization trend is measured by various indicators, such as international commerce flows, foreign direct investment, FDI, as well as changes in technology transfer, evolution of tariffs and non-tariff barriers to trade, administrative acts to encourage the purchase and consumption of local goods and subsidies for to local industry, among others. Also of interest is the tendency to lower tariffs, countries to rely more on non-tariff layers, NTMs, Albertoni, 2021. According to Postelniku, Dinu and Abija, 2015, the process of globalization can also be highlighted by keeping track of the following three factors, namely, dynamics of imports and exports of goods and services at a global or regional level, dynamics of expats' money remittances, and, 3, inflows and outflows of foreign direct and portfolio investments. Other factors include restrictions imposed by states and labor movements and national policies for encouraging purchase of local goods, thus, 2017. In most cases, deglobalization has been regarded as a process of diminishing economic interdependence and lower levels of economic integration between countries. Althoff's paper will address the factors that will focus more on the general aspects surrounding the international trade environment. It is important to note that the methodological approach in this paper will be more of a descriptive nature than empirical testing. Althoff's the paper is organized as follows. Following this introduction, the various stages of globalization and deglobalization over the past century as will briefly be outlined in the second section. This review is followed by a discussion on free trade versus economic nationalism. The first section presents a deliberation about global factors causing growing economic nationalism. The fifth section elaborates on the impact of protectionist measures in global value chains, while the sixth section briefly refers to the consequence of economic nationalism. Finally, some concluding remarks are presented. Stages of globalization and deglobalization. The world has experienced a dynamic process of globalization and deglobalization stages over the past couple of centuries. Williamson, 2002, decomposed centuries into four distinct periods, as indicated in Table 1. Table 1, Epochs of Globalization and Deglobalization. Epoch I, pro or anti-global. Anti-global mercantilist restriction years, 1490 to 1820. Epic II, pro or anti-global. The first global century years, 1820 to 1913. Epic III, pro or anti-global. Anti-global retreat years, 1913 to 1950. Epic IV, pro or anti-global. The second global retreat years, 1950 to 2002. Source, Williamson, 2002. According to Williamson, 2002, the globalization stages in epochs 2 and 4 were caused by a decline in transport cost as well as the process of industrialization in both Europe and North America. In a similar vein, Karunarit, 2012, identify as five main waves of globalization and deglobalization to occur over the past 150 years, as it is shown in Table 2. Table 2, Waves of Globalization and Deglobalization. Wave, Globalization Iteration, 1870-1914. Propeller, Colonization Economy, Boom Architect, Gold Standard. Wave, Deglobalization Iteration, 1914-1930. Propeller, protectionism economy, slump architect, interwar wave, to globalization to duration. 1939-1946 propeller, interwar economy, slump architect, interwar wave, globalization to duration. 1946-1973 propeller, free trade economy, boom architect, Bretton Woods wave, globalization 3 duration. 1980-2009 propeller, capital mobility economy, slump architect, generalized float. Source, Karun Aradin, 2012. Ultra-globalization issued as a way to reduce poverty and income inequality, the 2008-2009 global economic crisis, GEC, has reignited the debate on the globalization as a potential risk. The once booming global economy seems to be turning towards a slump where globalization policies are surfacing to the policy center stage. In addition, according to Walivi and Gracchi, 2020, globalization since 1990 can be divided into three phases, namely, an initial phase of deglobalization, between 1990 and 1995, which coincided with geopolitical reconfiguration of Europe, a period of sustained globalization, between 1995 and 2011, and, 3, the current phase, with moderate ups and downs. World trade to GDP ratio, a standard measure of globalization, almost doubled during 1986 to 2008 period, hence, referred as hyperglobalization. However, since then, it seems that the pace of globalization has slowed down compared to previous decades. This process, coined by the economist as globalization, was probably inevitable as the continued growth will not sustainable, Antres, 2020. The current global situation shows increased policy uncertainty that will constrain trade and investment inflows, coincided with a cautious approach towards economic integration. This issue is amplified following the Brexit referendum and U.S. presidential election in 2016 as world leaders fretted over a trend of globalization. 2016 thus witnessed a combination of economic and political risks, raising fears of throttling earlier efforts of globalization. Debates about the potential threat and impact of inequality and immigration on globalization are domed rounds, and there is a growing perception that both issues are a result of excessive liberalization. The aftermaths of the Brexit vote in the US elections are perceived to be consequence of developed countries' subtly opposition towards liberalization initiatives. Thessalus Woe mentioned concepts caused a change in the conventional allocation of resources from lower, import competing, to higher productive, export oriented, firms during a process of trade liberalization. However, it seems as if this shift is currently there responsible for the lower order firms to expand and the higher order ends to contract. The global business environment is increasingly becoming more uncertain as barriers to trade and investment surface globally, and this places a rising strain in international trade, FDI and eventually economic growth, especially in vulnerable countries. The current COVID-19 pandemic further exaggerated the process of economic decline and deglobalization. Free trade versus economic nationalism. Free trade allows unrestricted flow of goods and services among and between countries without government-imposed restrictions or interventions. The process of trade liberalization is the progression from a situation of trade restrictions within a country until the objective of free trade is finally achieved. Adam Smith's 1776 Laetha Foundations for a System of Natural Freedom Work in a Sense Forms Engine of Economic Development. David Ricardo, 1821. A well-known classical economist made a very strong argument for free trade and even a fit thereof. John Stuart Mill emphasized that the gains associated with foreign trade, highlighting the direct economic benefits. However, even in light of Sathier's developed decades ago and longer, in favor of the benefits of liberalized trade, protectionist era seem to be booming in many developed countries. Prell Ipsian and Bukitar, 2019. Government interventions or restrictions may include taxes and tariffs, non-tariff barriers, quotas and the like, with free radio posing in such measures, Fauda, 2012. The opposite of free trade is a policy of protectionism or in this paper. Economic nationalism, where trade between countries is restricted through introducing tariffs on imports or exports, restrictive quotas, or any government regulation designed to discourage imports as well as laws designed to protect domestic industries from foreign takeover or competition, Fauda, 2012. Thus the policies are closely aligned with the concept of globalization in an economic context. According to Overmises, 2010. My great achievement of protectionist tariffs is that it prevents production from developing where natural and social conditions are most favorable. Most modern economists will agree that a policy of economic nationalism is damaging to economy and inhibits economic growth, Fauda, 2012. This is the issue at stake is that no country has healthy commodities need within its domestic economy. This global uneven distribution of resources ensures that a policy of economic nationalism cannot be entertained. The consequence of economic nationalism is a situation of dead weight loss. According to McGee, 1976, the benefits of free trade outweigh the losses almost 100-1. Economic nationalism has also been accused of being a cause of war, in the words of French economist Frédéric Bastiat. Wars do not, cannot, cross borders, arms will, Murphy, 2019. When, in 1930, U.S. President Hoover ignored warning pleas in a petition by 1,028 prominent economists by signing Smoot-Hawley Act, some tariffs increased by 100%. More than 25 other governments retaliated within next year by passing similar legislation. The result of this was that world trade crunch had to a halt, starting the Great Depression, which in turn caused World War II. Fauda, 2012. Moreover, Alan Greenspan, 2003, warned the Bush administration in the early 2000s that it was imperative that trade policy of creeping protectionism should be reversed. According to O'Block, 1998, protectionism is a misnomer. The only people protected by tariffs, quotas and trade restrictions are those engaged in uneconomic and wasteful activity. Free trade is the philosophy compatible with international peace and prosperity. The unskirting from a protectionist approach are mainly special interest groups, big corporations or trade unions, all of whom will try and charge higher prices or be earning higher salaries, evident in a free market scenario. Fauda, 2012. Von Mises echoes that by stating, what generates war is the economic philosophy of nationalism, embargoes, trade and foreign exchange controls, monetary devaluation, etc. The philosophy of protection is Mises' philosophy of war, Butler, 2010. According to Fauda, 2012, I high servant at you world enjoyed its greatest economic growth where no major wars took place, during the period of relatively free trade, 1945-1970. I just not a say that free trade only creates winners and no losers, however, free trade is a large and unambiguous net gain for civilization. Mankey, 2009, statist hat very professional economists would argue against the fact that free world should increase economic growth and living standards. It is morally because the off spillover effect of new export sectors throughout the economy and increasing competition among producers, stimulating wages and living conditions. In an environment where governments allow citizens to pursue activities within the bounds of law and order and respect for property rights, self-interest generally serves as a catalyst for entrepreneurial and economic growth. This would lead individuals to specialize in their own comparative advantage, skills and abilities and therefore prosper economically. This approach is also in line with Adam Smith's whole little need for barriers, interferences or government control over the economy. Global factors causing growing protectionism or economic nationalism. The role of the USA in sanctioning economic nationalism. The Brexit episode and election of Donald Trump in the US have brought this new style of politics, posing a great challenge to existing order. The U.S. government, under the Trump administration, seems to do to trade what Uber is doing to license taxis, a vicious force against the conventional way. This has two major implications for the trading world, namely going directly against and violating the World Trade Organization, WTO, rules and secondly, FIFRA's U.S. retaliation starts altering the resort to rate distortions by other countries, Evinet and Fritz, 2017. Interestingly is the fact that both U.S. and the United Kingdom played a dominant role in the post-1945 order, no being the pioneers of seemingly moving in the opposite direction. Even a casual observer will readily see that the international trading system is in great turmoil and that much of this uncertainty originates from the U.S. The U.S. was ostensibly led by a president who repudiated permanent alliances, embraced economic nationalism, and admired spots. It seems that the world is at the end of both economic period, that of Western-led globalization, and a geopolitic alone, the post-Cold War unipolar moment of a U.S.-led global order, Wolf, 2017, the election of Trump marked an important inflection point, with U.S. stance rapidly changing from benevolent indifference to outright hostility. This first presidential campaign centered on blatant appeals to protectionism, economic nationalism and isolationism. Van Grastick, 2019, include a sporadic, inconsistent and domestically highly contested course away from multilateralism, James, 2017. According to James, 2017, since the Utah or mean G7 summit, the U.S. President, Trump, says world not as a global community but narrower nations. Non-governmental actors and businesses engage and compete for advantage. Trump stated in his presidential inaugural speech that we must protect our borders from the ravages of other countries making our products, stealing our companies, and destroying our jobs. Protection will lead to great prosperity and strength. It seems that politics contests two challenges. At times overpromising in truth that creating a disproportionate level of confidence in its ability to manage. Moreover, then fails to live up to expectations causing lecture it has to search for radical alternatives. However, it seems that conventional wisdom is in their treat and people defending globalization are hesitant. According to From, 2020, The Trump administration withdrew from Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, during his first week in office, and soon afterwards, he was fighting trade wars against numerous influential countries including Canada and Mexico, the European Union and South Korea, as well as against India and China. In March 2018, he actually tweeted that trade wars are good and easy to win, as he still had the growth of imports to the US and slowed its exports markedly. Furthermore, he agreed in a White House briefing on March 24, 2020 that this crisis has underscored just how critical it is to have strong borders and a robust manufacturing sector. He also commented that our goal for the future must be to have American medicine for American patients, American supplies for American hospitals, and American equipment for our great American heroes. In addition, given COVID-19 pandemic, in remarks at the White House, he promised that a vaccine is that we're going to be focused on in manufacturing, the real going to be made right here in the USA from 2020. During Trump's term as president, polls show found a breakdown in trust in the US across almost all lead countries. The Premier of Ontario, in Canada, bluntly stated new thinking in a bitter plea to US restrictions and medical exports to Canada. Am I going to rely on President Trump? Am I going to rely on any prime minister of any country ever again? Our manufacturing, we're gearing up, and once they start, we're never going to stop them, from 2020. Once protectionist urges are loosed, they become hard to contain. Interest groups affixes themselves to the expected benefit of protection, and therefore the concept spreads. If a country is urged to produce its own vaccines, these also produce our own antiviral drugs, and then its own antivirals, and also its own antibiotics. The question arises when outlets own medications, or own equipment, or own machine tool industry to produce that equipment. The outcome of this line of reason erects barriers, slicing international supply chains, raising costs, and ultimately reducing efficiency. Evidence of this is that world trade fell considerably after the global financial crisis and those of enduring pre-COVID pandemic stages. The swift growth in world trade had faded. Since the end of the Cold War until 2008, world trade grew more rapidly than world risk domestic product, GDP. However, from 2009 until 2019, world trade grew slower than world GDP. Delta trade has recovered somewhat, trade as a percentage of GDP has not, falling since 2008, which is referred to as a period of slow globalization, interwickened Buckley, 2020. On Adam of 3 years in office has allowed Trump to plot the most unforeseen swing in U.S. trade policy since World War II. However, commentator Shave speculated that under a Biden administration, economic nationalism might be more targeted and subtle, but it is not going anywhere. From the start of the campaign, current U.S. President Biden made clear that economic security is a national security. His Made in America agenda obscured indirect procedures of economic nationalism aimed at promoting goods and service produced domestically. According to President Biden's Buy American slogan, he envisages $400 billion in government procurement investment that will target goods and services provided exclusively by U.S. businesses. Campanella, 2020. Although Biden can hide behind Trump's tariffs for hurting the U.S. economy, he will have to perform an intricate balancing act to lift them. This is especially true when considering China issue, because he's backed by labor unions, which wants protected from Chinese competition. President Biden has encouraged a worker-centric trade policy that is intended to ensure that American trade negotiators will fight for every American job and for the rights, protections, and interests of all American workers. Urban Summers, 2021. It seems that when it comes to U.S. trade policy, so far, President Biden has continued the previous administration's policy as economists and other analysts found to be harmful and misguided. Although Biden follows a less aggressive approach toward other countries and foreign leaders, his stance on trade has remained America first. Andy Swain, 2021. Biden has voluntarily extended the key policies of protection of his predecessor and he've not a dose of them, signing an executive order tightening by American rules for the federal government and proposing tax incentives for ordinary citizens buying American-produced electric motor vehicles. According to Tufts University professor Daniel Drenner, Biden is also clinging to the idea of its totally America first. He stated as Hitler he do not think are more protection iced than Trump per se. But are also not list there. According to O'Brien Riley, the director of National Taxpayers Union's Free Trade Initiative, Trump was worst president on trade policy in at least 90 years and therefore he finds it extremely confusing with Biden administration which still continue to policy as that were unsuccessful and harm Americans. Andy Swain, 2021. An opposing factor to the globalization argument and the struggle between the U.S. and China was the merger of America FTA, called the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP, agreement, established on November 15, 2020. According to Kimura and Chen, 2016, the RCEP has a special meaning for Asia and the highest part of the forts of the ASEAN community to play a pivotal role in the global economy. The RCEP included 10 ASEAN countries as well as China, Japan, India, South Korea, Australia and New Zealand. These 16 countries have a combined GDP of about a third of world GDP and almost half the world's population. The main aim of this agreement is to create an integrated market and ease access to goods and service among members. According to the literature, China was the driving force behind the agreement in 2012 in order to counter the US-led EPPFTA, which excluded China. However, since the withdrawal of the US from TPP, China used the RCEP as a key tool to counter the U.S. prevention for its trade with China. Given that the debate between China and these RCEP members make up about 31% of China's total foreign trade value, it is clear that it can be seen as a way to increase its own Asia-Pacific influence. Business Standard, 2022. Furthermore, China expressed that this agreement is a powerful leverage and will help to speed up China's industrial transformation. Mullen, 2022. Although it seems as if this agreement is showing a differing viewpoint of the globalization argument, the true agenda of some members may be questionable to a certain extent. This is really a move towards furthering globalization or is there some selfish motive towards expanding self-interest and regional power? The role of the G20 countries in permitting protectionism or economic nationalism? Martin, 2018, states that as man's greatest tendency is to trade, he will exchange something that he has for something he has not. The main objective of this behavior is to improve his standard of living. However, since 2008-2009, trade growth has slowed significantly from an average growth rate of 16% per annum, PA, in 2003-2008, to only 1.5% BA in 20,100-2015. Trade and commercial services dropped from a growth rally of 15% PA during 2005 to 2008 to 4.4% BA in 2010 to 2015. FDI net inflows declined from a peak of $3.1 trillion in 2007 to $1.8 trillion in 2014, before a slight improvement of $2.2 trillion in 2015, thus, 2017. Various underlying factors for THICE include import moderation by dominant economies, structural factors and increased protectionism or economic nationalism. The Monitoring of Commercial and Investment Risk Report, developed by WTO, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, ECT, and United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, UNCTAD, 20th report. Between 16 May and October 15, 2018, provides a factual insight into trade restrictive measures imposed by G20 countries. According to Authors report, global FDI flow shadow declined by more than 40% during the first half of 2018 compared to the same time in 2017. This decline was mainly due to the repatriations of profits from parent companies in the U.S. from their foreign subsidiaries because of corporate tax reforms in the U.S., Prelipsian and Bukit 2019. In addition, during same time period, FDI inflows to developed economies decreased by more than 50%. The U.S., generally the most important source of FDI, registered negative investment abroad, mainly because of fiscal reform. Interestingly, as had see findings support the idea that this decline in world trade may be the merge of a phenomenon called new normal, Prelipsian and Bukit 2019. This paper makes use of the Global Trade Alert database, which is freely available and perceived as providing the most comprehensive coverage of policy changes affecting cross-border trade by independent reviewers, Avinit, 2019. Data from the Global Trade Alert Report, 2017. Indicates that level of protectionism has gone up in recent times with G20 countries accounted for most of the trade restrictive measures experienced in 2015. The number of discriminatory measures applied in 2015 was 50% higher compared to 2014, as shown in Table 3. Table 3, Top 10 Countries Imposing Discriminatory Measures. 2015. Rank 1. Country, U.S. New measures imposed in 2015, 90.1 share of world imports, percent. 2014, 3.5. Rank 2. Country, Russia. No of measures imposed in 2015 to 86. Share of world imports, percent. 2014, 1.6. Rank 3. Country, India. No of measures imposed in 2015, 67. Share of world imports, percent. 2014, 2.6. Rank 4. Country, Brazil. No of measures imposed in 2015, hours 42 minutes. Share of world imports, percent. 2014, 1.3. Rank 5. Country, Indonesia. No of measures imposed in 2015, hours 42 minutes. Share of world imports, percent. 2014, 1.0. Rank 6. Country, Argentina. No of measures imposed in 2015 hours 36 minutes. Share of world imports, percent. 2014, 0.4. Rank 7. Country, Japan. No of measures imposed in 2015, 36. Share of world imports, percent. 2014, 4.5. Rank, 8. Country, UK. No of measures imposed in 2015, 36. Share of world imports, percent. 2014, 3.8. Rank, 9. Country, Italy. No of measures imposed in 2015, 34. Share of world imports, percent. 2014, 2.6. Rank, 10. Country, Canada. No of measures imposed in 2015, 27. Share of world imports, percent. 2014, 2.6. Source, Evinet and Fritz, 2017. The G20 countries accounted for most of the trade restrictive measures implemented since the first G20 leaders summit in November 2008 up until June 2017, are the US, India, Russia, Argentina, Germany and Brazil, Evinet and Fritz, 2017. Although subsidies, trade defense measures and import tariff increases were widely applied, a clear shift towards localization requirements and export incentives were noticeable by the top 10 policy instruments most widely used, as indicated in Table 4. Table 4, number of policy instruments used in a discriminatory manner by G20 members. Policy instruments. State aid November 2008 to 2014, 1,083 since 2015, 393. Policy instruments, trade defense November 2008 to 2014, 984 since 2015, 291. Policy instruments, import tariff November 2008 to 2014, 576 since 2015, 183. Policy instruments, trade finance November 2008 to 2014, 421 since 2015, 211. Policy instruments, public procurement, localization November 2008 to 2014, 290 since 2015, 126. Policy instruments, localization, other November 2008 to 2014, 200 to since 2015, 97. Policy instruments, export taxes or restrictions November 2008 to 2014, 169 since 2015, 43. Policy instruments, NTBs November 2008 to 2014, 135 since 2015, 60. Policy instruments, investment measures November 2008 to 2014, 11 since 2015, 44. Policy instruments, export incentives, non-trade finance, November 2008 to 2014, 117 since 2015, 37. Source, Evinet and Fritz, 2017. The top 10 sectors affected the most by discriminatory measures accounted for approximately 40% of world trade in 2015. In addition, the aversion to trade liberalization is also observed in policy failures. The WTO Doha round of multilateral trade negotiations launched in 2001 did not progress in the last 15 years. Advanced economies like the US denouncing on the envisaged TPP and Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, TIP, which however, also failed to progress due to domestic backlash, DAS, 2017. Furthermore, In the context of intense discussion on tariff barriers to protect certain sectors, U.S. firms urge to consider moving home, repatriate profits, and questioning the new international financial system regulations are among other examples. Prell, Ipsian and Bukit R., 2019. Another reason for this global decline includes China's economic weakening in annual growth to about 7% currently. As a result, China's exports, which accounts for 14% of world exports, contracted by about 3%, with imports dropping by 14% in 2015 compared to 2014. Although the G20 countries abandoned the pledge to avoid protectionism, the question is whether these countries' behavior regarding protectionism or economic nationalism has really changed. A brief look at what happens between December 1, 2018 and April 15, 2019 in terms of trade distortions shows an alarming situation. It should be mentioned that official monitoring of the G20 state of protectionism was obstructed by a lack of cooperation from governments in substantiating their intervention policies, Ivanit and Fritz, 2017. The most widely used protectionist measure seems to be the increase in import tariffs, accounting for more than one-fifth of all measures introduced since the start of the financial crisis. The total value of imports affected would amount to $864 billion for the period 2009-2017, Ivanit and Fritz, 2017. Since the last G20 summit in December 2018 in Argentina, the G20 has implemented a total of 288 policy interventions aimed at supporting local firms. During the same period in the four preceding years, the total number of G20 protectionist policy interventions ranged between 125 and 175. Between December 1, 2017 to April 15, 2018, it was witnessed 159 hurtful measures implemented by the G20 countries. It is worth mentioning that the US/China conflict was responsible for 42% of the G20 protectionist policies. This implies that during the same time a year later, 88% more examples of protectionism were introduced and employed after the G20 countries dropped their pledge on protectionism. This amounts to trade distortions imposed to the value of $1.5 trillion of trade, which is $250 billion more than during the same time last year, and double the amount compared to the three preceding years. Notable is the fact that these figures relate to G20 measures obtained before the deepening of the Sino-US trade in May 2019. The impact of China and the US accounted for only 17%, or 51 trade distortions, of the G20 protectionist policies documented since the last summit in Argentina, indicating a broad-based concern and not exclusively originating from the Sino U.S. conflict, Ivanit and Fritz, 2019. The percentage of G20 trade policy measures harming foreign interests rose to just under 80%, which is in line with the previous 4 years. The five most used policy instruments that favor local firms include contingent trade protective measures, subsidies, excluding export subsidies, government procurement restrictions, export-related measures, including subsidies, and tariff increases. The number of tariff increases implemented during the period between December 1, 2018 and April 15, 2019 was 41, compared to the range of 830 during the preceding 4 years. Since the summit in Argentina, the G20 countries offered financial support to locally based exporters in 48 instances, which is twice the rate of the previous 4 years. Subsidies provided by G20 governments also nearly quadrupled since the Argentina summit compared to the average of the previous 4 years. Although there is a persistent imposition of new taxes on imports, the emphasis shifted towards a more common use of typically undetected state assistance, Evinet and Fritz, 2019. By October 31, 2020, a total of 2,031 policy interventions had been implemented by governments globally, which had an impact on the commercial interests of their trading partners. Those dramatic policy interventions are 74% larger than the comparable total recorded for government measures taken in 2019. A comparison of the total number of policy interventions implemented in 2019 with a total of 2,031 reported for 2020 shows an increase in 58% than the comparable total in 2018, the year in the past decade with the highest recorded total policy interventions. Compared to the average for the years 2015 to 2017, a relatively quieter period for the world trading system, the policy interventions recorded in 2020 is 147% higher than before the COVID-19 pandemic, Evinet and Fritz, 2020. In conclusion, it seems first and foremost that there has been a marked increase in protectionism or economic nationalism worldwide after the last G20 summit. The non-G20 countries have noticeably increased their resort to economic nationalism, even more than the G20 members have. In the absence of addressing protectionism in general in a meaningful way by G20 members, enforcing the Geneva trade rules is probably an entirely optimistic view. Lastly, international capital flows declined since the financial crisis as financial regulators imposed high regulatory standards to mitigate risks. The contributing role of the COVID-19 pandemic. The COVID-19, which supposedly originated in Wuhan, China, during December 2019 has been devastating on the global economic activity. According to Inderwick and Buckley, 2020, this pandemic represents the most fundamental disruption to economic activity in a century. It hit the leading economies, paralyzed links between countries, prompted a mix of responses and created uncertainty about its eventual extermination. Some studies also state that globalization was already subject to considerable criticism and concerns and may have reached its peak prior to the pandemic. Liberacy, 2018. Witt, 2019. These concerns brought about the growth of economic nationalism, triggering increased protectionist policies and a rejection of the institutional arrangements that have guided the global economy since 1945. The question is whether this pandemic may contribute towards the process of deglobalization because of the reduction in economic activity worldwide. According to Shukla, 2020, there is no doubt that economic activity has been reduced across the world because of the lockdown. Albertoni, 2021, echoes this by stating that COVID-19 has stopped globalization in its tracks and warns about the damage done by economic nationalism. During March 2020, the countries reporting the most cases of infections were China, Korea, Italy, Japan, the US and Germany. The six countries mostly affected at that stage account for approximately 55% of world's GDP, about 60% of global manufacturing and 50% of global manufacturing exports. According to Wan Sang, 2020, the COVID-19 pandemic has a more significant effect on the global supply chain, while some also indicate cutting investment expenditure by companies. In a way, it seems that the impact of the pandemic is worse in advanced economies compared to developing economies, as the share of durable products is higher than non-durable products in advanced economies. In developing countries, the share of non-durable products is higher, and during pandemics the demand for non-durable products exceeded that of durable or luxury products. However, this is purely from a demand-side approach without taking other factors into account, burdening developing countries much more. Impact on global value chains, GVCS. The emergence of GVCs has major policy implications for economic growth in developing countries. Conventionally, production was primarily located near the source of the main input or consumers of the final market, but the rising proportion of world trade and intermediate inputs has opened the door for location anywhere in the world. The value chain describes the full range of activities that firms and workers perform to take a product from its conception phase to the end use and beyond. According to Baldwin, 2012, this provides advantages to developing countries through the creation of a path by which countries can industrialize at a much earlier stage of development. This because producing firms establish their production plants where labor is cheaper or utilize other locational advantages present in developing economies. Typical advantages created in the GVC include speed in the movement of goods in the value chain. Developing countries that can provide these required levels of logistics can therefore share in the benefits offered by the GVC. Benefits include, amongst other, to allow imports under privileged tariff treatment for intra-firm trade, permit the utilization of network technology not normally available, and it may open up new sources of capital, New Farmer, 2012. These factors, combined with sustained improvements in policy environments, have caused remarkable growth in intermediates, exports in general, and economic growth in various countries. Globalization has reached a stage where the fragmentation of production and the international dispersion of economic activities have grasped unimaginable shares. Currently, about 60% of global trade consists of intermediate goods and services that are incorporated into various stages of production. This caused the creation of a highly complex network which is referred to as the global value chain. Today, GVCs have become the main feature of the world economy, as 28% of total world exports corresponds to the added value that was first imported and then incorporated into products and services to be exported again. Fragmentation of production has reached such high levels that these productive chains cannot be interrupted without seriously harming economic efficiency and adding to costs. Pastelniku, Dinu and Abija, 2015. In the global trade environment, each country aims at taking a position as favorable as possible in the global production chain in an attempt not to isolate itself. The GVC framework focuses on the sequence of value added within an industry, from conception, production and end use. It examines the job description, technologies, standards, regulations, products, processes and markets, thus providing a holistic view of global industries both from the top down and the bottom up. These are important aspects which serve as preconditions of competitive success for export-oriented economies, the rise of demand-driven workforce development and the proliferation of private regulations and standards. Irifi and Fernandez-Tark, 2016. However, the slowdown in global trade, due to the perceived deglobalization, seems to enhance the GVC maturation. According to ANTRA's 2020, the overall share of GVC trade in total global trade grew really meaningfully during the hyper-globalization phase between 1986 and 2008, but since the GEC has basically stagnated or even declined. Previously, the GVC was highly supported by a production process, fragmented across multiple countries, enhancing trade in intermediate products. However, since the GEC of 2008-2009, It seems as if the importance of GVCs has tapered down somewhat in developed countries, especially the US and Japan. Thus, 2017, the contribution of GVCs in the process of international trade has reached a peak with a dimness in especially advanced economies. Rising tensions in international trade between countries and doubts regarding market access are impending the very future of GVCs. A NECT study by Tobacker and Flaig, 2017, argues that the world economy faces various structural shifts that may intensely change. Some even refer to seismic changes, the position of GVCs in future. There is a number of factors, except technology, that describe the shifting dynamics in GVCs. Factors such as rising trade costs and economic nationalism since the GEC have made international production more expensive. Furthermore, localized production, closer to the final market, has become more attractive in advanced countries, based on digital technologies, as well as developing countries since their increased capabilities require less imports. Some also indicate the fact that GVCs have stalled recently, as basically a readjustment and normalization of the previous overshooting in international fragmentation. Moreover, it is interesting that the growing intricacy of international production networks may have peaked and thus some companies started rethinking their sourcing and production strategies. Prior to the war in Ukraine, the global recovery from the pandemic was expected to continue in 2022 and 2023. The conflict will, however, hinder global growth, creating a new negative supply shock for the world economy. The IMF projects a sharp fall in the global economic growth rate, projected to slow from an estimated 6.1% in 2021 to 3.6% in 2022 and 2023, IMF, 2022. In many countries, the beginning of 2021 was marked by a wave of lockdowns and restrictions, which weighed on demand, supply and international trade. By November 2021, the accumulated volume of trade realized since the beginning of the pandemic was still 1% lower than that which would normally be expected. World trade volumes would need to expand by about 2.8 percentage points from the November level to close the gap by March 2022, ECT, 2022. This would make it the biggest economic downturn since the Great Depression of the 1930s. Although a swift recovery is possible according to the IMF, it will require a significant effort to get control over the pandemic and restore economic activity and global value chains, Lucas, 2020. According to Lucas, 2020, this pandemic has greatly disrupted GVCs, which are responsible for more than two-thirds of world trade. The disruption of GVCs is likely to be discussed when debates about the globalization surface in future. Manufacturing is likely to suffer due to shutdowns, distorted supply chains, transport disruptions and waning demand. Manufacturers of durable goods and firms heavily relying on value chains are specifically vulnerable. World trade is likely to decline further in sectors with complex value chains such as electronics and automotive products. The most complex supply chains are regional, with China the main hub for Asian countries, the US for North America and Germany as hub for Europe. During adverse shocks, GVCs have exposed companies to high levels of supply risks through a delicate, complex and long GVCs. It has also exposed companies in responding to changing preferences in consumer demand. This potential changes in GVC dynamics may cause a reconfiguration of the international production landscape with noteworthy shifts in competitiveness among nations, Tobacker and Flaig, 2017. Consequences of protectionism or economic nationalism. Although protectionist measures may be politically attractive, especially over the short run, the long-term effects can, however, have severe negative consequences. The implementation of trade restrictions may cause retaliatory measures with the probability of increased tariffs globally. This may have a negative impact on consumers, producers, government, investment and trade flows alike. Poverty and income inequality may come under more pressure as tariffs will translate into higher imported prices, reducing the purchasing power of the vulnerable as they generally spend a larger portion of their income on traded goods. Fadged Album and Candle Wool, 2016. Higher imported intermediate goods may also direct firms to permit consumers to bear this increase. Lastly, more expensive imported capital goods may impact heavily on lower-income countries which rely on these type of goods. Katlina Dimitrova and Lakatos, 2017. This merely explains that virtually all protection implies higher prices to either the consumer or another producer. In case of intermediate goods, a warning from the WTO about the global rise in trade protection detected among G20 countries show that there is an imminent concern. Companies may also progressively consider decoupling from GVC and reshoring, reducing reliance on production units abroad. These types of arguments get more support, especially during periods of rising nationalism and populism with additional fears and suspicion and a growing urge towards deglobalization. However, GVCs are developed to enhance efficiency and productivity and therefore changes to this system would mandate a tremendous effort and probably cause an increase in costs of production. Lucas, 2020. Numerous changes in the nature of globalization are becoming more evident lately. It seems that government involvement in economic activity has increased markedly. Governments are directing businesses towards the production of essential products such as ventilators, personal protective clothing and equipment, and also rethink location of manufacturing plants and to increase supply flexibility. An example is Japan, that set aside $2 billion to support their firms shifting out of China closer to home, nearshoring, or back home, reshoring. Firms experiencing supply chain shutdowns are considering their options. A firm like Iris Ahim is moving its mask production from China to Japan, while Mazda has indicated that it will source auto parts more often from Mexico. Another example is the White House National Economic Council director calling on authorities to pay the costs for U.S. firms to move operations from China back to the U.S., Interwick and Buckley, 2020. Some of the weaknesses mentioned before delivered pressures for change that were exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic. The COVID-19 pandemic is also likely to affect the geography of production as well as the management of supply chains. Adding to this, another change potentially affecting globalization is a result of firms reconsidering the flexibility of their global supply chains. Although continuous adaptation in global value chains is required, shocks like the COVID-19 pandemic place an added strain on these GVCs. The expansion of GVCs also depend on exploiting sophisticated levels of specialization. However, these disruptions or shocks cause unpredictable and negative system-wide effects on existing, efficiency-driven GVCs, Interwick and Buckley, 2020. The continuous loss of well-established suppliers can be detrimental to a business. However, technology provides opportunities to restructure supply lines. Advanced control and communication technology may enable a reduced dependence on key supply hubs such as China, Interwick and Buckley, 2020. Conclusion. One of the main issues at stake currently is probably global economic uncertainty, causing a spiral of economic nationalism because governments are under pressure to stimulate their economies and protect their domestic trade interest. The global financial and economic crisis of 2008-09 have had a devastating effect on the world economy and the globalization. Since then, global trade in goods and services has substantially slowed down. By evaluating the discriminatory measures applied by especially the G20 countries linked to some geopolitical factors, there is ample proof that higher levels of economic nationalism are evident globally. These factors, combined with the COVID-19 pandemic, further exaggerated the process of isolation or economic nationalism among countries. This again negatively affected the GVCs, which is supposed to cover the full range of activities that firms and workers perform to take a product from its conception phase to the end use and beyond. The emergence of GVCs had major policy implications for economic growth in developing countries, as the rising proportion of world trade and intermediate inputs had opened the door for location anywhere in the world. The recent inward-looking approach or rising levels of economic nationalism seems to counter potential advantages of GVCs. Part of these benefits include establishing plants where labor is cheaper or utilize other locational advantages present in certain countries. Typical advantages created in the GVC include speed in the movement of goods in the value chain, and countries that can provide these required levels of logistics can therefore share in the benefits offered by the GVCs. From a political economic perspective, government policies have an economic impact on the broader community, be it domestic or global. The current economic crisis and associated risks is global, without offering global solutions. In fact, each country has to search for its own solutions. When addressing local solutions to a global crisis, this in itself refers to a tendency towards deglobalization. Although deglobalization is probably not here with a vengeance, it is slowly but surely creeping to the surface in subtle ways. It is therefore imperative that the advice from economists to government on economic policies should be sound. Based on the threat of a deglobalization, vulnerable countries should develop policies to improve connectivity, support small businesses, promote skills development initiatives, and identify new sources of growth. Although the current COVID-19 pandemic has aggravated the process of deglobalization, it may be the stimulant for reinvigorating the global economy, as interdependence may once again be vitally important to stimulate the world economy. As long as countries are uneven in their endowments of various types of resources and technologies, they are different in their abilities to produce all types of goods and services. So, as long as countries demand certain goods which, according to their abilities, they are not able to produce, economic dependence among countries will remain and globalization will largely persist. Although there is multiple proof that the level of economic nationalism or protectionism in general is on the rise, it may be premature to talk about deglobalization yet, and therefore it appears unlikely to see an end to globalization soon. Latin American Journal of Trade Policy 12, 2022, Universidad de Chile. 38. Latin American Journal of Trade Policy 12, 2022, Universidad de Chile. 38.